This episode is brought to you by Not Another Pizza Place, Cambie Pizzeria, in downtown Northeast New Era Main Street. You'll find the brand new, wonderful pizza company that everyone's been raving about, with reviews that seem impossibly positive, a crew of delightful and skilled pizza makers from all over the world. You can get a pizza inspired by every culture that you can think of, from Chicago's deep dish to Brooklyn's foldable slices, all the way to an authentic Italian pizza pie. Make sure you get down to Not Another Pizza Place, Cambie Pizzeria. With pizza this good, we're not going anywhere. Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Not Another Pizza Place, Cambie Pizzeria, has announced that it is indeed going out of business after only a week of being open. Owner Milo Vintaglieri, not going to say that right, cited rising food costs, the regional labor shortage, the economic impacts of the coronavirus pandemic, and forgetting to do market research about whether a community of 18,000 people could support a 16th place to buy pizza as reasons for his difficult decision. Reached by phone this week, Vintaglieri was nearly inconsolable as he lamented the completely predictable collapse of his life's work.
I'm devastated. My life's work. Mamma mia, pizza pie. Wah!
Despite being open for fewer than 10 days, the pizzeria was already gaining a reputation for the strange ways it attempted to stand out in the crowded marketplace, including a Hawaiian-style pie made not of pineapple and ham, but poke, the raw fish delicacy that is also popular in the islands. There was also the Cougar Special, which was intended to feature an image of Cambie High School's mascot in cheese and pepperoni. But each masterpiece took over an hour and is still kind of ended up looking more like a bobcat than anything else. That's not fair to the Cougar. The store's so-called Spartacus policy, in which anyone asking to register a complaint with the manager would cause every employee within earshot to step forward and shout, "I am the manager!" also caused no shortage of head scratching and consternation. Meant to boost loyalty and a sense of togetherness amongst the staff, it tended to just tick off the customers even more, especially those who had never seen the movie.
More controversy at the Cambie City Council this week after local residents appeared during public comment to complain about an ornithological documentary that has been popular with local teens for all the wrong reasons. It's called Tits of the World, but not for the reason you're thinking of, you pervert. The documentary is about tits, the family of small birds that are widespread in the Northern Hemisphere and parts of Africa. In the United States, the birds are more commonly known as chickadees, for obvious reasons, but this particular series was made by BBC, and Brits tend to be slower on the uptake for hilarious puns like this, or more mature whatever. Local mother Melanie Grant was the first to raise concerns about the DVD when her presumably very disappointed 16-year-old son checked it out last week, evidently for reasons other than an interest in avian science. "Tits come in all shapes and sizes, every one of them unique and worth looking at," said Grant, reading aloud a transcript of the documentary's introductory monologue. "A world without tits would be a world without color and song. Tits, flying free, make the world go round." Grant then recited a list of some of the species featured in the documentary. Great tits, elegant tits, fairy tits, mountain tits, Mexican tits, firecap tits, sultan tits, yellow belly tits, and cinnamon breasted tits, said Grant. Now imagine those are boobs, and maybe you'll understand why we are so upset about this. Counselor Mark Brady, while saying he understood the parents' concerns, pointed out that the word used by the BBC is the official name of this particular family of birds and has been in use since at least the 14th century. Look, kids will always find things to giggle about, Brady said. I did the same thing when I was a kid. It's just human nature. I just don't think we should be getting all bent out of shape over something this nipple. Simple. But it was too late. His entire point had been undermined. No other elected official tried to talk sense that night for fear of similar humiliation. Look, I get that these are bird terms or whatever, said local dissident Jeb Hawthorne. The last time I checked, there aren't any birds in the Canby Public Library. If any birds out there want to get their jollies off, they're welcome to buy, borrow, or steal this movie to their heart's content. Just leave me and my children out of it. Several parents described the documentary as pornography, which, to be fair, it does feature a section on mating habits, and demanded that drastic action be taken. If we can't keep this filth out of our library, then maybe we shouldn't have a library, said Hawthorne. I wasn't allowed in the library when I was growing up, and I turned out just fine. With all the money we're wasting on boob books, I'm sure it could be put to good use in the road maintenance budget. Though few counselors seemed in support of defunding the library, they agreed to revisit the subject in a later work session with library staff.
What's in a name? According to some community members, decades of pain, misunderstanding, and hurt feelings. That's the position of Cougars Are People Too, or CAPT. A grassroots group seeking to change the official team name of Canby High School Athletics, claiming the term Cougar is offensive to sexually liberated older women who are, quote, still on the prowl and not one bit shamed of it. The group appeared en masse during the last Canby School Board meeting, staging an impromptu demonstration outside the building, holding signs with slogans such as "Put the shame to bed" and "Claws out." We're here to send a message. Cougars matter. CAPT President Gloria Walensky said during a public comment portion of the school board meeting, "We are not animals. We are not mascots. We are not a large cat of the subfamily Felinae, native to North America and the southern Andes. We are a normal, healthy, well-adjusted lady that likes to..." Well, you get the idea. The biggest difficulty in changing the name, of course, is what would you change it to? Any existing mascot carries the same danger that has afflicted the Cougars, the possibility that a future generation might appropriate it to refer to a lifestyle that, while perfectly healthy and acceptable, might not fit as a word for teenagers to wear on their chests while playing baseball or volleyball. CAPT's preferred alternative is to choose something so bland it could never offend anyone. The Canby Blocks. And better yet, the Blanks. Members of the Canby School Board, we ask you to do this one thing tonight, said Walensky. Choose blank. Blanks do not offend. Blanks do not box you into a corner. Blanks are a canvas for every athlete, every student, every member of the school district community to write their own story. I promise you, if you choose blank, it will be the best decision you have ever made. And you can take that to the blank. Later that night, the Canby School Board voted unanimously to deny the name change from the Cougars, 7-0.
The mystery of the Loch Ness Monster has captivated people for centuries. Though the entire loch has been searched top to bottom using radar and other technology without turning up any proof of the elusive beast, true believers maintain that the truth is out there. But what if, all this time, they were looking in the wrong place? That's the assertion of local resident Douglas Metherton, who claims he saw a large creature resembling classic depictions of Nessie sunning herself Wednesday afternoon right here in the Canby Pond. She had a long neck and a small horse-like head, said Metherton. All told, her neck was at least 20 feet above the water, and I could see the hump of her enormous back right there in the center of the pond. She gave me a long look and seemed to smile, then went back down below the surface of the deep. The Canby Pond, which has no connection to any larger body of water and covers an area smaller than an acre in size, seems an unlikely place to find an enormous relic from millions of years ago, still alive and well and undiscovered until this day, but Metherton insists that Nessie, or Pondy, as the creature has become known, has indeed been discovered and provided blurry cell phone pictures as proof. The photos do appear to show the outline of a large, long-necked creature in the center of the pond, or possibly just Metherton's thumb in the frame. Decide for yourself. Visit canbyfirst.com for photos.
The Canby Police Department are investigating a suspicious man. Officials confirmed this week, suspected of numerous acts that, if not necessarily illegal, are certainly dickish to a fault. The man was reportedly seen last week sitting in a park by himself and smelling his fingers with a weird look on his face. He is also accused of ordering an absurd amount of food from local restaurants, like way more food than anyone would ever need, and then just never picking it up. Speaking of restaurants, he goes to Panda Express every week and tells them that they're mispronouncing General Tsao. General Tsao. Even worse, he stands in line at Taco Bell just to fart. Okay, sometimes people just fart, though, is the thing. Then he leaves. The whole place just... The whole place just smells like farts, right? Am I wrong? At least one witness has reported seeing this suspicious man take a stick of deodorant off the shelf, remove the cap, try it on, and then put it back on the shelf. City officials claim that he has destroyed more public bathrooms than Hurricane Irma. I mean, I don't know anything about the bathrooms, but I think that I've even, just to say it, you know, like, it's sampling. It's sampling, right? He doesn't like puppies. Who does? And he has been seen walking a ferret. I walk my ferret sometimes. It's not weird. And is also reported that he does not own a ferret. It's a friend's ferret. People have friends with ferrets. The man is described as being relatively sort of young, heavy set, and visually unkempt with glasses and a beard that he for some reason believes to be an... Why is it in quotes attractive? Beards are attractive, right? It's a thing right now. He is often seen dressing like a Portland lumberjack cosplaying as a comic book nerd. Sounds pretty cool to me, to be honest. When he was a senior in high school, he was known as Captain Swirly because of how many freshman heads he dunked in the toilet. Yeah. I mean... not cool. He says that he's not afraid of COVID-19 because the other 18 COVIDs didn't get him, so why worry? On July 11th, he goes to 7-Eleven and demands a free Slurpee because it's his birthday. They give him a free Slurpee, obviously, on that day because it's 7-Eleven, but he demands that they say that it's for his birthday and not because it's free Slurpee day on 7-Eleven. He always tells people that he's broken his elbow 3 times, even though all of his friends and family say that they all saw him break it only 2 times, including people that have known him his entire life. Also, you ate my sandwich, Tyler. Wait, what? That's me. It was in the office fridge and it had my name. Well, yeah, it had my name on it too, right? You know what? I don't need this, okay? I have important things to do. I don't need...
You know what you did!
Hey!
No! It's all true! You know what you did!
This is false!
Don't walk out on this! You know what you did! He knows what he did, people. Just remember that. He knows what he did. Now he knows.
Relativity.com. Has this happened to you? You meet a great person at the local watering hole, you hit it off, and you just can't stop thinking about how wonderful they are. Then the worst happens. You find out they might already be part of the family. A cousin that you didn't know about? Or can't really keep track of? How could you? You have so many dang cousins, and they all live around here. Well, Relativity.com is here to help. Simply send in your DNA sample, and we'll compare it to the results of our other clients, and we'll make sure you never run into the awkward situation of asking out your cousin again, unless they're your third cousin, because then, technically, it's legal.
Our guest today is, I'm so excited, almost too good to be true. Recently discovered, recently confirmed to exist. You may know him as the Sasquatch. You may know him as the Abominable Snowman, but he is the one, the only Bigfoot here in our studio today. Welcome to the show.
Oh, sorry. I had to clear my throat.
It's the spring allergies, is it?
Great to be here.
Yeah, welcome. Yes. So, Bigfoot, you recently wrote a book that we're going to talk about today, but you basically came out and kind of confirmed that you exist, and you just have a lot that you want to share with the world, as we understand it. You sort of had a reason for coming forward at this time after decades of will he, won't he, does he exist, is he even out there? Yes. And here you are, and I understand you just have a message that you want to share with us.
Thank you. Yes, you are correct. You know, I am a very private person.
Mm-hmm.
I am
nothing wrong with that.
What some may call an introvert.
Sure, sure.
And you know,
that's what I would have guessed. That's what I mean. I'm being honest. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of like just living my life. I love nature.
Yeah.
And
live and let live.
And that's what, but I'm not unaware to what's happening,
sure,
you know, around the world. And I felt now was the time to really speak out about, my life and the life of, my people.
Mm.
And so I wrote a book.
Yeah.
And fortunately it was picked up.
Yeah.
And
congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm doing the rounds. I'm doing the media tours.
Yeah.
And
the book is called?
The book is called Big Feet, Bigger Heart.
I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I do notice, because we have a copy here, not by Bigfoot, as you might guess. And
no,
that's kind of one of your things.
Yes. I have a name. Like, it would be... Frankie, it would be like, me, and please don't take offense to this, but
sure,
it would be, calling, when people see me down the street, they yell out Sasquatch. It would be like me seeing you across the street and saying, hey, Whitey.
Right, right.
Sasquatch
hey,
is bald my race.
Guy. Yeah.
Sasquatch is my race.
Sure.
Bigfoot is even worse.
Body shaming.
I would not, see someone walking down the street and say, hey, big butt,
right,
because they were of a larger size.
Right.
That's
even,
how I feel.
Yeah.
I wear a size 23, Adidas shoe.
Sure.
Like, that's not, I was born this way.
Right.
Right. Why are you going to call me Bigfoot? I have feelings too.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
And I have a real name and I'm that's part of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's tough. I want to say I'm sorry for being part of that because, and this is why it's so great for you to come forward now.
Yes.
Because we just don't know until we know.
100%. And I'm making the rounds, and really it's been a pleasure. Like, I don't hold animosity towards people because, again, I and my family have kept out of the public eye.
Sure.
And so I wouldn't expect people to know or understand,
right,
that kind of thing. But so it's actually been a pleasure just talking to people and just kind of educating,
sure,
on this. And
I appreciate that. I think you could be very justified in having anger to have that approach, that maturity of coming out with it. I think is going to bridge a lot of gaps, and you've probably already seen that.
Yeah. Well, you look. I haven't really been telling this story too much, but it's in the book.
Mm, okay.
And there was a time where I did have anger.
Sure.
You know, towards I was picking berries up near your government camp.
Yeah. And delicious.
Some campers are like, "What smells? What smells?" I'm like, "Look, I don't have a shower. I don't have soap." You know, and it made me upset. You know, I went over and ripped the dad's arm off, and you know, and he was screaming, and I kind of went away. Everyone's crying and screaming because, you know, I ripped this guy's arm off, but I'm like, you know, show some respect.
Sure.
You know, we live different lives. Sorry if I stink according to you. I smell great to, you know, the people of the forest, the animals.
Right.
You know, I smell just like anyone else.
Sure.
So, and, you know, but then I remembered the day before I actually got sprayed by a skunk. So it was worse than usual.
Yeah.
So I felt bad. I don't know what happened to that guy, but if you read about it, like the whole story's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to read it. I want to give you a chance now to share your true name. You haven't said yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Ronald.
Okay. Ronald, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for recognizing my name.
Absolutely. I would love to, I don't want to take you back to some of that anger or some of that darker place, but obviously your people have been portrayed in a lot of movies, a lot of different portrayals, often negative, more sort of monstrous takes from, you know, more cartoony to,
it's true.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? And how do you kind of process some of that stuff? Maybe, I don't know if you saw it, but before you kind of came out as you have, or if that's something you're just kind of absorbing now, or if you've just stayed above it.
Yeah. It was something that I think I was personally unaware of for a long time. And, you know, frankly, there aren't many of us left.
Sure.
And so, you know, it wasn't until I started kind of going out and, well, really, it's, you know, we don't need to talk about, like, you know, the colonizers
yeah.
sort of coming into what I felt was like my, you know, land.
Yeah.
And kind of pushing me back more and more into uninhabited areas just because, again, I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
You know, as sort of, you know, me, as I started kind of interacting more and more with people like yourself, I did start to see, and on this book tour, I've seen, you know, very, what I would call offensive caricatures of myself, and people have shown me movies and things like that. And it's really interesting because I feel like, well, I saw this movie, Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Are you familiar with that?
Sure.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, that was probably not a great depiction of what a Sasquatch is. Mm-hmm. However, I did have a cousin that acted very much like that.
True. Yeah,
but, you
there's
know,
one in
he
everything.
He had fallen off a cliff
right.
and landed on his head.
Right.
So.
I think his name was actually Harry, wasn't it? Funnily enough.
Could it have been here?
I don't know.
We never knew what happened
to
him afterwards.
Yeah.
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 Hmm.
So
interesting to think about.
People who have studied Sasquatch, you know, cryptozoologists, they call them. There's there's footprints that people will come out with. There's hair that they say, you know, there's films that people have claimed to be authentic and whatnot. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that? Was any of that real? Was it just people, you know, pretending, hoaxing it up, trying to get their 15 minutes? Or
funny that you say that, because when last year I was before COVID hit, and funny enough, it turns out Sasquatches are immune
I was going to ask you how COVID-19, the pandemic.
It turns out we're immune, but we can spread it very easily.
Okay.
But we don't catch it.
Right.
So I just kind of just been walking around. But
you guys were social distancing way before it was.
True.
Yeah. I mean,
it's true. I actually went to the Bigfoot Research Center in Boring.
Oh, okay.
Have you been?
I haven't, but I've heard of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And they actually have a lot of valid things in there.
Really?
And yes.
Real evidence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so
do you go there and you're like, oh, that's where that went?
Well, no. I was getting to that.
Been looking all over for that.
I'm looking at, and some of it's like, oh, you know, that's footage of my aunt, you know, from the 1942.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I'm looking at everything and there was a story up. They had some things on the wall. And
sure.
One of the stories was, you know, there was, you know, somebody's living kind of out on the outskirts of the woods, and they had a ball. I think it was a tennis ball or a baseball or something.
Sure.
And they would throw the ball into the woods, and then the next morning they'd see it in the yard again.
Mm.
And they were convinced it was a Sasquatch.
Right.
That was me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I was like,
they were right.
I'm that guy. I'm in the thing. I mean, they didn't have a picture of me, but
yeah.
I was like, that was. And well, the people there were like, yeah, right.
Right.
Like, it was another one. But I was like, no, I threw that ball back.
Yeah. So what was that like? You were trying to make a connection, or you were just like, why does this ball keep hitting me?
No, it was like, I was trying, I would see it in my bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, and I would toss it back.
Yeah.
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 Just like you would do if you know, a kid was kicking a soccer ball into your yard. That's
for
what
sure.
It was like. And then he was, you know, turns out the person thought it was a game.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But I'm introverted. I don't play that stuff. You know, Sasquatches really don't have games. We spend all of our time pretty much looking for berries.
Sure.
And trying to procreate.
Mm. I mean, that sounds a lot like humans. Let's
That's
be honest.
It.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. Your ways are still foreign to me.
Well, I'm glad you went there, because I was going to ask you. It is interesting seeing these kind of misconnections from your side of the street, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you are kind of more immersed doing this book tour, learning a little bit about us, you know, you're talking about cousins earlier, like maybe very distant cousins we are. What do you think of humans and our ways?
You know, I gotta say that there's a lot about human culture that I admire.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of you know, what you guys call technology is really astounding to me.
Sure.
And so that's pretty neat. But I feel like In the
took me a long time to try to explain this podcast to you and how it's not a magic box.
I didn't understand what a podcast was.
Sure, for sure, for sure. I get it.
So and
why would you? You shouldn't be ashamed of that.
And I mean, for me, you know, and somebody in my last interview was trying to explain to me what the internet was before I agreed to this. You know, and I still kind of, the way I think about it is sort of like tiny demons dancing in the air.
Yeah.
You know, whispering in everyone's pockets.
Yeah.
And then they pull out a device and the demon shows them something.
Demons in your pocket. No, you're thinking of Facebook, actually.
Okay.
Had they explained social media to you?
Kind of.
Okay.
Kind of.
We'll get there.
Okay.
But anyway,
all right.
Go on, please.
Going back to your original question, I think that maybe with all the technological advances, humans may have lost something along the way.
Mm.
You know, it just seems really noisy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, although I appreciate the craft services here in the green room.
Yeah.
You know, the water and the food just doesn't, I feel, you know, the air. You know, it doesn't smell as sweet. The water doesn't taste as good as what I find back at home, you know, and a connection to the neighbor. You know, I wake up and, you know, a bluebird lands on my shoulder.
Beautiful.
And an elk comes down and gives me a high five with his hoof, you know, and he doesn't tell me I stink.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
It's just, I feel like it's maybe humans have lost a way of life because back in the day, from what my grandparents have told me.
Sure, your oral history.
Well, yeah. Humans and Sasquatch used to live side by side.
Sure.
A long time ago. And, you know, and then over time, we had to go our separate ways.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey there, I'm Tyler Claussen. I'm sitting down with our newest sponsor, Toby Gordon, from the company By My Lake House.
The Lake House VHS.
Oh, By My The Lake House VHS.com.
Yeah.
Okay, and Toby, did you want to explain to people what your business is here in town?
So, if you're looking for you know, The Lake House, the movie with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, I think my wife has made me watch that before.
And well, did you watch it on VHS? Because I have it on VHS, about 40 to 60 copies of The Lake House VHS.
So you own like a VHS, like an old retro VHS kind of store with a bunch of movies?
No, nothing like that. I just have a bunch of copies of The Lake House with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock laying around, and I'm trying to get rid of them. I want to get rid of The Lake House with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
The Lake House.
Yeah,
The Lake House. 60 copies of just that one movie on VHS.
43 to 60, maybe 80, of The Lake House starring Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves.
You've really kind of stretched.
Well, you know, I've had them for so long, and I've been selling them here and there.
Yeah, why, Toby? Why do you have so many copies of this movie?
I guess we could just say I lost a bet, and so they were kind of thrown in my lap, and here we are. I'm trying to sell them.
Yeah,
I'm trying to make a profit.
Well, definitely appreciate you taking the time to come down to the studio and sponsor our show with the money that you've made from selling
absolutely
VHS copies of
If there's
the
anything
Lake House.
I can say is buy my VHS, The Lake House, starring Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. You know, a lot of people might be mistaken. This is not like another Speed-type movie with Keanu Reeves and the bus and all that. This is The Lake House, starring Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, it's like a romance movie, right?
Yes.
Like time travel romance.
Well, that's what I've heard. I haven't seen it.
You own that many copies? You haven't watched it?
Well, I'm trying to sell them. I can't use them. I've never seen the movie. Don't know what it's about. I've been told. I read up on Wikipedia. I read the first few lines. And here we are selling my copies of The Lake House starring Keanu Reeves
Sandra Bullock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, there you have it, folks of Canby. If you're looking for VHS copy of or 60 VHS copies of The Lake House
starring Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
Yep. Then make sure you check out the website.
All you gotta do is go to buy my The Lake House VHS
.com.
Yep. And my contact info will be on there. Toby Gordon of The Lake House VHS is starring Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
I don't want to. This is not a joke. I'm not trying to oversimplify. Do you talk to animals? Is there a communication there that maybe we don't quite understand? I'm not thinking like something out of Disney. Not that you know what that is, but or do you?
I would. It's more of like you know. It's like it's more of like a you look and you have a little look in your eye and say oh, and then the elk looks back. Yeah. It's like hey. You know, did you find a mate last night? And the elk's like, yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, spring is in the air.
Sure.
And he's like, yep.
Yeah.
And then we give the high five.
Yeah. Nice. For sure.
So it's not actual verbalization. You just kind of know. You know your friends. You know, it's that nonverbal kind of communication.
Yeah. So the food that we have. What are your thoughts on that? You mentioned you have a very more austere diet in the wild with berries, maybe some twigs. Obviously lots of food options out here.
Yes, I am what you would call vegan,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Sure.
But is it pescatarian? I eat fish.
Sure.
And eggs.
Okay.
But I don't eat meat.
Okay.
You know, I forage for fruits and nuts. And so, you know, I notice that you guys eat a lot of meat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not, but it smells good.
Yeah.
But I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
But it's, I feel like if I try it, you know, the forest creatures that I've made friends with will look at me differently.
Yeah.
Like, whoa,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah. And is it worth risking that?
It's
right?
not.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm going to go and kill them and eat them, or maybe I would. But, I don't know. I just don't want to open that door.
Yeah.
But I do like this thing you call alcohol.
Sure.
I've had a lot of that
yeah.
since I've
I noticed
been
that.
In society.
You've been through a couple just during
yes.
this conversation.
No, it's yeah. it's great,
yeah.
and my Sasquatch metabolism handles it very well, according to your doctors.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if that's something you can bring back with your berries, learn some of the fermentary arts.
Mmm. I see what you're saying. Just
yeah.
make a...
Which brings up my next question. I mean, you do plan on going back and returning to your original way of life, do you? Or what are your thoughts?
I did.
Yeah?
But, you know, I'm getting more offers after this next month. I'm actually going to be a guest judge on The Masked Singer. So
awesome.
I'm heading down there. I'm really excited about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I wonder if that those skills that you've built from sort of connecting with creatures in nonverbal ways will serve you in that role of sort of seeing below what's below the surface.
I don't know what The Masked Singer is, and
okay.
I don't understand what television is. And
sure.
they told me – they tried to describe music to me. But my people don't have music.
It's, right.
We, you know, we have mating calls, I guess, would be the closest,
yeah.
you know, thing.
Sure.
You know, and it's kind of more of a, like a tonal grunting. I don't want to do it here because it's
well, we don't
it's
necessarily
a private.
Want,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a private.
Want
kind of a private
bring
thing.
Every lady Sasquatch within
right,
100
right,
miles.
Right.
Yeah.
No, my wife would be very upset.
Yeah.
if
yeah.
she heard me, you were doing what on this podcast?
right.
A mating call?
yeah.
Honey, there's no other Sasquatches here.
Right. Right.
You know, and oh, sure. That's what they all say.
Right.
You
right.
know.
I mean,
all right.
I want to say our listenership among Sasquatch is low, but who knows? I mean, that's not something we track. So,
yeah, I feel like I haven't even been trying to hide that hard.
Yeah,
you know, but there aren't very many of us left, unfortunately, and that is one thing I think a big difference between our people is the rate that you have, you know, children. And can grow as a society.
Yeah.
And my people, when, for instance, when my wife was pregnant with our first child, she was pregnant for 82 months. So it just takes longer to have kids. It's a long pregnancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I mean, from your perspective.
Right.
For us, the child was
normal.
Premature.
82 months.
I talk about it in the book. And
that's like 6-7 of our years.
I mean, it's I don't know. It's our biology, you know.
Yeah.
And the book is really.
Do you know what human gestation have you been informed about that? 9 months, a fraction.
That's 9 months.
Yeah.
9 months.
That's like. No wonder we're so small, I guess.
Oh,
you hear that and you're like, oh, that explains a lot.
You,
no wonder you're so hairless.
How do you find time to find the cave and build the nest?
Yeah, I mean, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the book, can I talk about the book for a second?
I think a lot of our listeners are going to want to buy it.
Your questions are awesome. The book is it's half memoir.
Mm-hmm.
About me growing up and my
sure.
life, and it's half kind of call to action
yeah.
for people to kind of understand and be kinder to, you know, my species, really.
Yeah.
Even in your introduction, you said, you know, Sasquatch, Abominable Snowman, yeah. as you say something
I
like
that. I have to apologize for
that. You know, it's okay. It's okay. I understand. But those are the kind of stereotypes that we're trying to dispel, you know. Yeah. I've heard Yeti.
Yep.
You don't even get me started on I saw somebody showed me on their demon device from their pocket a thing where it's like there's a like a fake mountain, Matterhorn it's called.
Mm.
And there's like a robot thing, very offensive.
Sure.
You know, and he's like, rawr, and he kind of lurches at the speeding sled.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on Mount Hood, and I've seen people walking around in the snow, and I just wave, you know, but they don't even see me.
Right.
And I'm thinking, somebody down in Anaheim made a thing, and the guy's growling at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not me.
Yeah, and I mean, now that I obviously talk to you and see, I totally see how those terms are very dehumanizing or, you know, de-squatchifying, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Thank you. Thank you. No, I appreciate that. And I think this has been the most powerful thing about writing my book. And I do have to thank, I have to thank my co-author who transcribed basically everything that I said. I tried writing a book.
Sure.
And I, you know, I came out of the forest and I handed it to the first person I saw who screamed and ran away. I was told later that what I had given them wasn't actually a book, but it was just a kind of a bunch of leaves with like blood on it. I thought I was writing, you know, words, because I had seen books. Campers leave trash all over the damn place.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
You know, they leave trash everywhere. So I had seen books, but I was trying to copy what was there, and I was like, let me get my thoughts down.
Sure.
You know, so I, you know, just did that. There was some roadkill, and I just kind of sprayed it on some leaves. They couldn't make hide nor hair of it, as they say. So.
Sure, sure. I, having read a part of the book, not some of the sections that you've talked about here today, but I definitely get a sense of you know, you're so well spoken in the way that you present it, as we've seen here today again. But just a sense of frustration, you know, with these portrayals. You know, just this is who I am. I am a family person. You know, I have a family. I take care of them. I take care of nature. I love nature. I give back. You know, do charity and stuff like that. And just like, this is who I am. That felt like sort of the central theme of the book to me. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think, you know, what I'm trying to say is, like, that's not, like, my family and I aren't caricatures.
Yeah.
You know, like you see in your guys' sports teams, you know. I look at apparently you have these things called states. It's like these arbitrary lines that draw some imaginary borders or something. So I see this outline of the shape you guys call Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you see? An outline of me, like I'm walking.
Right.
You know? Right. And I think, no one's paying me for that, you know, use that likeness.
Yeah.
Also, like, what is that? You know, is that, you know, are you guys just, is it just a caricature?
Sure.
You know, I don't know. So
yeah.
I thought you put a person behind that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you talked to attorneys about some of this stuff and sort of protecting your likeness, your culture?
No, again, I don't have any, I don't have any ill will.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have use of what you would call money. But someone gave me some money and I gave that to somebody else and they gave me some of what you call alcohol back. So I'm trying to understand a little bit about, American commerce.
Yeah.
is what I've been told it's called. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe I will do that.
Yeah. Yeah. We use money for alcohol. Mm-hmm. Also for dates, which also usually involve alcohol. And that's pretty much what it's for.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you guys don't have mating calls?
We do. They're more text.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look and research that some more.
Yeah, we'll talk about that offline. Okay. We're coming to a close here. It's been such a delight, Ronald, having you on the show today. What's next for you? Continuing the tour? You got to do more writing?
Like I said, I got the Masked Singer coming up, so look for that this fall. And I have I'm working on a sequel to the book about this phase of my life and what this whole...
I'd be fascinated to hear more of that.
And I've had some, people have been reaching out a little bit more. I've had some interest for, a reality show.
Biopic, maybe.
I can't. There's been talk about optioning the book 100%. So, I can't get too...
Sure. That your propriety. Yep.
Far into that. And also someone named what you call Senator Wyden has reached out about possibly going to your leader.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know who that is, but in getting what you would call a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Oh wow.
So I hear it's an honor.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Yeah. I mean, they used to be worth more, but still an honor for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And congratulations.
Thank you. That's great. I don't know. I don't know what's going to pan out.
Yeah.
There have also been talks. Someone was talking to me about taking me to a place called the Acropolis.
Okay.
The Acropolis.
Okay.
Somewhere in Portland. I don't know. So, I'm just playing it by ear at this point.
Yeah.
But I feel like the sky's the limit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Do you have a title for the second book yet?
Yes, it's tentative.
Sure.
But it's called Bigger Feet, Bigger Problems.
I like it. A little more of an urban flavor there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep.
That's great. Well, we'll definitely be looking for that. Ronald, I have to say, just as we close, and it's not only because I enjoy having two arms, I think you smelled great. Loved having you in the studio today. It's been a real delight. Thank you for taking time out to share your life story, man. And happy April Fool's Day.
Happy April Fool's Day to you, sir.
Now Hear This, Cambie is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Cambie by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This, Cambie is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Cambie's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.